சர்வேஷாம் சுப்ரபாதம். யோகசூத்ர பரிச்சய கக்ஷா தஸ்ய பஞ்சவிம்சஹ வர்கஹ ஏப்ரல் பிரதம தினாங்கஹ. மங்கள ஸ்லோகேன ஆரம்பம் குர்மஹ, பிரார்த்தனா ஸ்லோகேன ஆரம்பம் குர்மஹ. யோகேன சித்தஸ்ய பதேன வாசாம் மலம் ஶரீரஸ்ய ச வைத்யகேன யோபாகரோத்தம் பரம் முனீநாம் பதஞ்சலிம் பிராஞ்சலிரானதோஸ்மி. So we'll begin with the review of the previous class. So we had started the third pada, and the vibhuti pada, and progressed a bit in that. So in the previous class we discussed the third unit, which discussed about the dharma, dharmi and krama. Dharma, dharmi and krama comes from the discussion on parinamas. It leads from that particular discussion. Dharma parinama, lakshana parinama and avastha parinama, three kinds of modifications or changes that are there in the bhutas and indriyas, the senses and the elements, pancha mahabhutas. So that is the parinamas, and in those parinamas there is dharma parinama, lakshana parinama and avastha parinama. Dharma parinama, change in characteristic from mud to pot, or from the change of the objects which are very gross or very at a very superficial level, the changes that happen in a object is dharma parinama. Lakshana parinama is the change in time with respect to any particular object. An object of yesterday, the object of today. So an object travels in time also, that is lakshana parinama. And avastha parinama, so in every passing second there is a minute change which might not be perceivable at that particular point of time. That is called as avastha parinama, which the consequence of which is cumulatively known at a later point of time. A thing changing from its newness to the oldness, that is avastha parinama. So this was discussed previously, and hence the term dharma came, the characteristic. So if dharma is there, then there should be a dharmi, the one that holds the dharma, the one which is the substratum of dharma, which is dharmi. And then we have that krama. So I said previously we discussed how many systems do not accept this dharmi, especially the Bauddha system. Bauddha system of thinking, they do not accept the existence of an unchanging substratum in which the characteristics change. Everything is in flux. That's what they say. Opposed to that, yoga says there is a substratum, dharmi, unchanging substratum, and then kramaha. So various things emerge from the same raw material. How do those various things come? It is because of change in krama. We discuss the example of the pot again. From the same mud, clump of clay, or lump of clay, from the same lump of clay, pot is created. Other kinds of dolls are created. and various things are created from the same lump of clay because of the change in the sequence of the creation, the process of creation, the objects are also varied in nature. But the substratum remains the same. That is Krama. Probably, this Krama, after a later thought, it came to my mind that the statement of Krama, why does it gain significance? It gains significance because yogis are of the view that for the entire creation, there is one source. For all the materialistic creation, there is one cause or one source of origin from which the various things emerge. That is the Prakriti. So yogis, like Sankhyas, accept only two ultimate realities. One is the Prakriti and the other is Purusha. Purusha does not undergo any change, but Prakriti, the root cause, is the source of all the things that we see in this world. So how does so many varied things emerge from the same source? It is because of change in Krama. Looking it from the other side, so many varied things are there. So the general thinking would be, oh, there should be many root causes for these many varied things. But by stating the concept of Krama, only by changing the sequence, from the same source various things can emerge. The Patanjali seems to indicate that though the world may look varied in nature, but they can all be dissolved into the same cause, unitary cause, which is called as Prakriti. Then how do we explain the variety? Variety is because of the change in Krama, the change in sequence, that's all. So, by mentioning this Krama at a deeper level, Patanjali seems to establish or strengthen the concept that the entire creation, though varied in nature, has a single source that is called as Prakriti. So, that is the discussion on Dharma, Dharmi and Krama. Then we started into the discussion on the various Siddhis directly. So, from the 16th Sutra, directly various Siddhis were mentioned. As I mentioned earlier, the format is the entire chapter rests on the concept of Sanyama. Sanyama means Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. Sanyama indicates three terms, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. It's a technical term. In Yoga Sutra, so wherever the term Sanyama is mentioned, then it is Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. So when this Sanyama, the general pattern of enumeration of the various Siddhis is that first the object on which Sanyama has to be done, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi has to be done will be mentioned, and then immediately the Siddhi will be told. For example, the 16th Sutra that we started out is a typical example for that. Parinamatraya Sanyamat Atitanagata Jnanam. So there are two components in this sutra. Parinamatraya Sanyamat, which is in the fifth case, Panchami Vibhakti, and then Atitanagata Jnanam. So what does this mean? How do we understand this sutra? Parinamatraya Sanyamat. So when Sanyama is done on the three Parinamas, then What is the result? Atita anagata jnanam. So the object of Sanyama is mentioned, and then the benefit or the siddhi that is achieved, or the power that is achieved, or the occult power that is achieved is mentioned in the second part. Atita anagata jnanam. Atita anagata jnanam. Of the knowledge, jnanam, of the past and the future. Then on the 17th sutra discussed on the concept of sarvabhuta ruta jnanam. Knowledge of the sounds made by all the animals, all the creatures. So one will be able to, capable of understanding the various sounds by practicing sanyama. Practicing sanyama on sabdartha pratyayanam vibhaga jnanat. Shabda, artha and pratyaya. The person separates them and does sanyama. He will gain sarvabhuta ruta jnanam. Then the 18th one. Samskara sakshatkaranat purvajati jnanam. So purvajati jnanam, previous births. Knowledge of previous births is attained by doing sanyama on samskaras. The 19th and 20th sutras discuss parachitta jnanam, knowing what is in the mind of others. So what is the current emotion which is inside the mind of a person who is standing before you. So how does this siddhi come about? By pratyaya, sanyama on pratyaya. Pratyaya, the thought in the mind of the others. If one focuses on that, does sanyama on that, then parachitta jnanam. So what exactly is the emotion in the other's mind, that is known. One question may arise, how do we focus on other person's mind or other person's emotion? See, again, as I said, these are higher yogic practices and they will be revealed as a person progresses. Not everything can be theorized. So these are actually sutras which are very subtle in nature. So all that we can do is just to scratch the surface. So all this is possible as we progress in the path of yoga. Only that much is known. And even the commentators do not elaborate on the how of it. So the how of it has to be known only by trying it out. So that is parachitta jnanam. Then it is said na salambanam. The 20th sutra says it is not salambanam. His emotion is known, whether he is angry inside or he is anxious or he is in a pleasant state of mind, all that can be known, but the cause of the other person's emotion cannot be known, because the sanyama is done only on the notion or the expression of the mind only. So if sanyama is done on the probable object from which the emotion in other's mind comes, then that can also be known. That is the 20th sutra, which was discussed in all the previous class. In the previous class, this point was discussed. Just to remind this and just mentioning. Now we move into the today's siddhis discussion. So it continues from the 21st sutra. The 21st sutra discusses the sanyama on kaya rupa. Kaya is body, rupa is the form. So kaya rupa sanyamat. So sanyama on the form of the body. So what is the form of the body? If the sanyama is done on the kaya rupa, the form of the body, then what happens is antardhanam. antardhanam, a person can disappear. So he simply vanishes. We read in various stories, in the Mahabharata, Ramayana and various other Puranas, about persons vanishing. So, how it happens, that is mentioned here. If a yogi does dharana dhyana samadhi on the kaya rupa, of his own kaya rupa, of the form of his own body, then what happens? The process is also mentioned. Kaya rupa sanyamat tad grahya shakti stambhe. Then what happens? When the yogi practices or focuses or channelizes the dharana dhyana samadhi on the form of his body, the external form of his body, he is capable of stopping the perceptibility or the graspability of this body by others. A kind of veil, a kind of covering is brought about. So he stops. Stambha. Shakti stambha. Grahya shakti stambha. Grahya, the grasping. The grasping of his own body by others is stopped. So when people see their act of seeing is unable to, their sight is unable to grasp the body of this yogi, because he has done sanyama on his own body and its graspability by others is stopped by his sanyama. And then what happens is chakshus prakasha asamprayoge. So the sight of others is unable to make a contact with this body. Chakshus prakashaha. So the light from the eye, see, the perception happens when the sight gets in contact with any object. If I am seeing a book, it means the sight sees the book or gets into contact with the book. So because of the sanyama, this book is made imperceptible. Because of the sanyama, the body is made imperceptible, and hence what happens is the eye of others is unable to make a contact with this body, and it results in antardhanam. A yogi simply vanishes. So that is the 21st sutra on disappearing. Kaya rupa sanyamat tad grahya shakti stambhe chakshus prakasha asamprayoge antardhanam. So this is the 21st sutra. And then the next one. Aparanta jnanam. The next sutra discusses about aparanta jnanam. Aparanta means the knowledge of the other end. What is the other end? Aparanta. Apara is other. Anta is end. Jnana is knowledge. So the knowledge of the other end. Other end of human life. See, this end of human life is birth. And then the other end of human life naturally is death. So aparanta. So the other end of human life refers to aparanta, refers to death. And jnanam, knowledge of death. So how to gain knowledge of death? When will I die? Or when will any other person die? The time of departure, how is that known? Sopakramam nirupakramam cha karma tatsanyamad aparanta jnanam arishtebhyo va. So the karma, the actions that we do, the and the punya and the papa that we have, the karma phala, the modification, the punya and the papa karmas that we have in our storage, that punya papa storage is of two types, sopakrama and nirupakrama. Sopakrama is that segment of punya papa which has started yielding its results. For example, I am experiencing various things in my life. It is because of that package of karma which has started giving its benefits, yielding its results. So a kind can be called as sopakrama, can be called as the prarabdha karma, the karma by which this birth has come into being, that is sopakrama. And nirupakrama is those karmas which are still in the form of the stored karma, which is not part of the prarabdha karma, the sanchita. Nirupakrama is the sanchita karma, and sopakrama is the karma which has started yielding its results. Upakrama means a beginning. Sopakrama, the thing which has already begun to yield results. So thus, that segment of karma which has started to yield results in the form of sukha dukha in this life, that is called as sopakrama. And nirupakrama is those punya papas which are still in the form of sanchita karma, which is yet to yield results. Vyasa beautifully gives an example to understand this sopakrama and nirupakrama. Sopakrama karma, he compares it to the cloth that which we have washed, which is still wet, but which is spread on a wire to dry. So that is sopakrama. Nirupakrama is a wet cloth which is still in the form of a lump. Until we spread it, it will not dry. So that karma, so the spread cloth for drying is called as sopakrama, and the wet cloth which is not spread, which is still in the form of a lump, so that is called as nirupakrama. So he says that cloth which is wet but spread wide becomes dry quickly, whereas this nirupakrama, that which is still in the form of a lump, just washed it and he has put it in the bucket, it has not yet been spread. So if it is left in the bucket itself, it too will get dry, but it takes a lot of time to dry when compared to the cloth which has been spread. So this sopakrama karma is prarabdha karma, which quickly yields results, whereas this nirupakrama is that which is yet to give its results. So sopakramam nirupakramam cha karma tat sanyamat, by doing sanyama on both these sopakrama karmas and nirupakrama karmas, then he will know the time of death. So his end he will be able to know. So the spread cloth, we will have a guess, general guess, that when will it get dry? In a matter of half an hour this will get dry. So we will have a general guess. So this is at the superficial level. So when a yogi looks at the sopakrama karma, then he will get to know when this particular birth, when this particular prarabdha is going to run out of its contents. And then it is from the nirupakrama karma, the stored previous karma, from which the next birth is to happen. So only a portion of that nirupakrama karma will become sopakrama later. So the knowledge of both this sopakrama and nirupakrama will show when a person will die, when the end is going to come. So this is one thing, and the other thing is this is one way to know the end, the yogic way. But Patanjali also says no need to burden yourself, or no need to take this difficult path. There is another way in which a person can know his end. Arishtebhyo va. Arishta. So the end can also be known through other means also. The yogic way of knowing the end is doing sanyama on sopakrama and nirupakrama karmas, whereas the normal way in which an indication of the end is through the arishtas. What are the arishtas? Arishtas are indicators of death. So, and Vyasa goes on in detail about what these arishtas are. So, arishtas are adhyatmika, adhibhautika, and adhidaivika in nature. So, the indications will be from the body itself, and then the indications will be from the other creatures, and the indications from the nature. So these are the three kinds of indications that a person will get. I will not go in detail into this. You can read this in various translations that are available. Just give one example. One indication that he says, which comes from our own body, is when we close with our fingers, when we close both our ears, then a ocean like sound, as if the waves of the ocean, will be heard inside the body. That is, when we just try out closing our ears, then a kind of a wavy noise will be heard inside the body. If that wavy noise is not heard, then it says, then Vyasa's commentary says, it is an indicator of death. So this is adhyatmika indicator from the body itself. So this is from the Vyasa's commentary. This is one indication. And similarly, a person, if he sees suddenly the previously dead people in dream, then again that is an indication. All these things I will not go into further details. I will not terrify people by elaborating on this. So all these details are found in the 22nd sutra on Vyasa's commentary. So one can either to have a very precise knowledge of the exact time of departure, one can take up this sopakrama, nirupakrama, sanyama. But to generally have an indication of end, this arishtas, the various indications that come from our body, from the other creatures, and also from the unseen powers or from the nature, all these are also indications of death. But what the commentators say, that a yogi will be focused enough to grasp all these indications, where a normal person, even when the indications are given, he will not grasp it. He will still go on with his life. They say that ajaramaravat prajnaha vidyamarthancha sadhayet grihita iva kesheshu mrityuna dharma mahasaret. That we are all held by our hair by the god of death is not realized by many. So we think that we are going to be here forever, and we we live in such manner. So the shloka says that remind yourself that death is possible anytime, and hence do all the good things that you want to do immediately without postponing. So that's the shloka, another different verse. So the point is that a yogi can grasp those indications and then complete or conclude all the works that are before him. Whereas a person who is not a yogi might not be focused enough to grasp these indications. That is one view which is expressed in the commentaries. So this is sopakramam aparanta jnanam. And then maitriyadishu balani 23. In the first chapter, maitri karuna mudita upayakshana sukha dukha punya punya visheshana bhavanataha chitta prasadanam. A method to attain the pleasant state of mind was mentioned in the 33rd sutra of the first pada. So maitri is friendliness, karuna is compassion, mudita is happiness, upeksha is indifference. So these are the four bhavanas that one has to do. These are the four emotions that one has to practice on looking at, on respectively, sukhiteshu. In a person who is happy, maitri should be done. Dukhiteshu, karuna, those who are suffering, we have to express compassion. Those who are doing good things, punya, regarding them, friendliness. Apunya, those who are indulging in acts which are not meritorious. Indifference has to be practiced. So all these points, by this a person gradually attains chitta prasadanam. So here siddhi associated with maitri, karuna and mudita is mentioned. So by practicing sanyama on maitri, friendliness, then a yogi becomes a friend to all. He attains maitri balam, the act of friendliness, being friendly, doing sanyama on maitri. The yogi attains maitri balam. He becomes so powerful that by his presence he is capable of removing all conflicts that are near him. So by the power of the friendliness that he has achieved, he will make the place around him very harmonious. Maitri balam. And karuna balam is again doing sanyama on karuna, compassion. So a yogi becomes a powerhouse of compassion, and then he starts radiating compassion so that everyone is filled with compassion for the others. So wherever he is, he radiates compassion, and the place around him is full, becomes a place, and people around him become full of compassion. And then mudita, happiness, by doing sanyama on mudita, happiness, then what happens? Again he becomes a powerhouse of happiness, and then he radiates happiness. So all these are essentially pointed towards harmony and peace and happiness in the society. So yogi who has this higher goal of doing good to the society can take up this sanyama by practicing sanyama on maitri, karuna and mudita. He becomes an enormous reservoir of all these qualities. He becomes a great storehouse which also radiates friendliness, happiness and compassion. The commentator makes it clear that upeksha or indifference one cannot do a sanyama on upeksha because it is not a positive quality. See, maitri, happiness, sorry, maitri, friendliness, karuna, compassion, mudita is happiness. All these are positive qualities. And the fourth one, that is, upeksha is indifference or withdrawal. Since it is not a positive quality, Vyasa makes it clear. So it is just moving away, withdrawal. So upeksha, Vyasa says that on upeksha, sanyama cannot be done. Though Patanjali simply says maitri adishu, on the concepts beginning with maitri, maitri karuna mudita, in that sutra upeksha also comes under maitri adi, but Vyasa excludes upeksha from that. So it is not a bhavana. It is not a thing which we can visualize. It doesn't mean that we cannot visualize. It is not an elevating thing. That's what Vyasa says. Papashileshu upeksha natu bhavana. It is not a bhavana, he says. Tatahacha tasyam nasti samadhihi. See, when we start thinking about this quality of upeksha, invariably we think about the papa karma, the sinful action, or the people who do sinful action. So naturally those samskaras which are associated with the wrongdoings, or the impressions about the person, the negative impressions about the person, they simply emerge in the mind when we start thinking, and hence it will not lead to samadhi. The mind will not settle down. So, because of its association with papashilas, and hence Vyasa excludes upeksha from samadhi or doing sanyama. So, maitri bala, mudita bala, and karuna balam is achieved by practicing sanyama on maitri, karuna, and mudita, the three concepts which were mentioned to achieve the chitta prasadhanam in the first chapter. Now, the next sutra, baleshu hasti baladini. So, by doing sanyama on balam, strength of anything, if you focus on the strength of anything, you gain that balam. Hasti baladini. Hasti is elephant. If sanyama is done on the strength of the elephant, then a yogi attains the strength of the elephant himself. Vyasa further says, vainateya bale sanyamat, vainateya balaha bhavati. By doing dharana, dhyana and samadhi on the strength of Garuda, as elephant is very powerful on the ground, Garuda, the vehicle of Lord Vishnu, is considered to be a very powerful bird. So if sanyama is done on Garuda's strength, then one attains Garuda's strength. The yogi attains Garuda's strength. Vayubale sanyamat, vayubalaha ityevamadi. So by doing dharana, dhyana, samadhi on the strength of the wind, unimaginable force and power of the wind, the yogi attains that. So in whichever strength, in the strength of whichever thing a person focuses, he attains that strength. Focuses in the sense, thus dharana, dhyana and samadhi, a person attains that strength. This is baleshu hasti baladini. And then the next one, pravrityaloka nyasat sukshma vyavahita viprakrishta jnanam. So again we have to recollect some concept from the first chapter. Pravrittyalokanyasat. In the first chapter, you might remember you have to refer to sutras 35-36. There, discussion on various pravrittis was done. So, to focus the mind, one has to help the mind to calm down, one should focus on the various pravrittis. You might remember that on the tip of the nose, Gandha Pravritti can be felt. Gandha Pravritti is divine smell. That is there in the tip of the nose, according to the yoga texts. So, if one focuses on the tip of the nose, which has the Gandha Pravritti, divine smell, then the mind calms down. Similarly, in the eye, in the tip of the eye, if one focuses, then divine sight is felt, or divine sight can be gained. So by focusing the mind on that, a person can calm down his mind. So this was mentioned as Jyotishmati Pravrittihi and Vishoka Pravrittihi. And it was also mentioned that if one focuses on the heart to be very luminous, the luminous heart, the light, if one focuses on the light that emerges from the heart, then the mind again gets calmed down. This is called as Vishoka Pravritti. The tip of the nose, the tip of the eye, which gives divine sight, divine smell, divine hearing. So all these things are called as Jyotishmati Pravrittihi. So all these were called as Pravrittis. So in the first pada, simply visualizing those was mentioned just to calm the mind down. And then it was also clarified that how do we know there is a divine smell on the tip of the nose? How do we know there is a divine seeing capability in the tip of the eye? Again, it comes with the Guru Shishya Parampara. How do I focus on the heart with the light? Again, it is Guru Shishya Parampara. Unfortunately, we read these yoga texts only in classrooms, as something of the past, just to gain knowledge. But previously, yoga was a system of practice. Now, even now, yoga is a system of practice, but only the external limbs are practiced, like asana, pranayama, etc. But these deeper aspects are, of course, might be practiced in certain schools, but these practices need initiation, what is called as initiation, diksha. So without those initiation, we might not get these things. Seriously, if a person is initiated into this, probably he might get these from the guru directly. So such concepts also exist in the Yoga Sutra. So by doing Sanyama on such pravritti, the Gandha pravritti, of course the theoretical details are available in the texts, but to practically realize them, one has to go to a guru who has realized all these things. Then how to find a guru, such a guru? It is a search of the lifetime. Okay. So while doing this Jyotishmati Pravritti, while these are called as the Pravrittis, I'm just reminding them, the discussion on Pravrittis is found in the 36th and 37th Sutra of the first chapter. If one does Sanyama on these Pravrittis, what does he gain? Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi on these pravrittis, if it is done, what is gained is Sukshma, Vyavahita, Viprakrishta, Jnanam. Knowledge. Knowledge of what? Sukshma. Knowledge of things which are very subtle, which is beyond the naked eyes. So subtle, it might be present here, but cannot be perceived, like the atoms, the molecules, all those things. They are present here, but we cannot see because of its sukshmatva, its subtle nature. So by doing this pravritti, by doing sanyama on this pravritti, what is gained is sukshma jnanam, microscopic vision probably. And then vyavahita jnanam. For example, this door is closed. And so this door, and there is a chair on the other side. So that chair is, the door is in between myself and the chair. So I cannot see that. So the things which are blocked by something else can be known. So vyavahita means the door is the vyavadhana for the chair. The chair which is beyond the door, it cannot be seen in the normal course of perception because the door is closed. Until the door is opened, the chair cannot be seen. But a yogi who practices sanyama on this pravritti can still see things which are blocked by something else. What is beyond this wall? What is beyond this thing? So all those knowledges can also be X-ray vision. If the previous sukshma jnanam is called as microscopic vision, this vyavahita jnanam can be called as X-ray vision, which scans things and knows things beyond. And then viprakrishta jnanam. Viprakrishta means that which is far removed from a particular place. So things which are at a very, very long distance, they can also be known. So this can be called as the telescopic vision. So microscopic vision, sukshma jnanam, X-ray vision, vyavahita jnanam, and telescopic vision is viprakrishta jnanam. Telescopic vision or binocular vision, it is called as viprakrishta jnanam. All these knowledges can be gained, all these powers can be gained by a person who practices sanyama on the pravrittis that were mentioned in the 36th and 37th sutras of the first chapter. Sukshma vyavahita viprakrishta jnanam. Next one. Bhuvana jnanam surye sanyamat. By practicing dharana dhyana samadhi on the surya, the sun, what is gained is bhuvana jnanam. The knowledge of the earth is gained. If a person, in these days probably this might not be very relevant. These days one has the internet and all other sources to know various things about the geographical, demographical and various details of the world. Bhuvana jnanam. Bhuvana is the world. But in those days, these subtler yogic ways are there to know about the formation and arrangement of the various details of the world, both the geographical and various other factors of this world. To know that Surya is the one who is above the world, and he covers the entire world, and hence by doing sanyama on Surya, all that is seen by the sun can be seen by the yogi. So that is the point here. Surye sanyamat bhuvana jnanam. The Vyasa Bhashya to this is very, very detailed. Discusses about the arrangement of the entire, the geographical description of the world during Vyasa's period, or the understanding of the geographical divisions of the world during Vyasa's period, that is presented in Vyasa's commentary here. So, and it is also interspersed with various Puranic beliefs also. So, in that way, Vyasa's commentary on Bhuvana Jnanam will be interesting to those who would like to know what is the view of the Puranas on the arrangement of the various continents and other things, geographical details. That one can find in the Vyasa's commentary to the 26th Sutra, third Pada. Now, Chandre Tara Vyuha Jnanam. Surya was mentioned, and immediately it is followed by Chandra. Chandra, on the moon, if Sanyama is done on the moon, Tara Vyuha Jnanam. Vyuha is arrangement of Tara. Tara refers to stars. So, by doing Sanyama on the moon, which is one of the most luminous things at night, which is even considered in the scriptures as the head of all the celestial beings at night, the moon. By doing Dharana Dhyana Samadhi on the moon, Patanjali says, the arrangement of various constellations can be known. That is Tara Vyuha Jnanam. And then Dhruve Tadgati Jnanam. And by doing Dhruva, by doing Surya was mentioned, Surya is the sun. Chandra, the moon. Sanyama and Surya gives Bhuvana Jnanam. Sanyama and Chandra gives the arrangement of various constellations. Sanyama on Dhruva. What is Dhruva? Dhruva refers to the pole star. The pole star. So by doing Sanyama on the pole star, what is gained is Tara Gati Jnanam. The knowledge of the movement of the stars. Tara Gati. Stars and constellations. So this is a very important thing to be noted here, that the stars were not considered static. It clearly mentions Tara Gati Jnanam. Patanjali, in Patanjali's period itself, the constellations and the stars which were part of the constellations were clearly understood to be moving, which were not stationary. So to know the movement of the constellations and the stars which are part of the constellation, one has to do Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. So one should take these ideas mentioned in the Yoga Sutra seriously. So because they were really having the knowledge of various things as they are. So, so by doing Sanyama on Dhruva, one gets to know about the movement of stars and the constellations. So, this is about the Taragati Jnanam. So far what we have seen is about things outside. That is, let it be the moon, stars, the strength of the various things outside, all these things mostly. Predominantly, the discussion in this portion of the Siddhis is about things which are external to one. So the Viprakrishta Jnanam, things which are far away, things which are subtle, things which are beyond a blockage. So all these things are things outside the body. Now, to gain detailed and clear knowledge about things which are inside the body, the next portion of Siddhis from 29 till 37, from 29, it continues. So, with relation to the body, the Siddhis are stated now. For example, Kaya Vyuha Jnanam. Earlier it was Tara Vyuha Jnanam. The previous one mentioned about Tara Vyuha Jnanam, the arrangement of constellation stars. And the Siddhis which will be mentioned henceforth will focus more on our own body, human body, and the arrangement of various things within this body, and the various powers that can be manifested by this body. So that is mentioned in the next segment of Siddhis, which we will take up in the next class. So, are there any questions? All the previous classes have been uploaded, so you can refer to the I think it is up to date. So all the recordings have been uploaded, which is up to date. And this will also be the recording of this class will also be uploaded soon in the course of this week. So it seems there are no questions. So we will end this class with the Prarthana Shloka. Yogena Chittasya Padena Vacham Malam Sharirasya Chavaidyakena Yopa Karottam Pravaram Muninam Patanjalim Pranjaliranatosmi. Oh, it's getting very interesting. Oh, thank you, man. So, yes. Okay then, namaskaram, shubhadinam, namaste. Yeah, just a moment, I will answer. Nabhi Chakra, just a moment, Nabhi Chakra Sutra is Nabhi Chakra Kaya Vyuha Jnanam is 29, madam. So we have seen 28 today. So Kaya Vyuha Jnanam comes in 29. But I should say that, see, this 22nd sutra is sometimes split into two sutras. Sopakramam, Nirupakramam, Karma, Tatsanyamad, Aparanta Jnanam is one considered as in some versions as one sutra. And Aristebhyova is considered as a different, separate sutra. So, and hence there might be a change in number. Sometimes it becomes 30. So, because one sutra gets added here, and hence it becomes 30. And if these two, Sopakramam, Nirupakramam, Karma, and Aristebhyova is considered as one sutra, then it becomes, the Nabhi Chakra Sutra is 29. If it is split into two, it becomes 30. So, there are two versions, Muthulakshmi Madam. Have I answered the question? Yeah, one more question from Mr. Mahadevan. One text says 12 times pranayama is pratyahara and so on. Patanjali does not seem to say that. Yes, in Patanjali Yoga Sutra you will not get that. This concept of 12 times pranayama is pratyahara and so many times of pratyahara is dharana, so many times of dharana is dhyana, that concept is found in the Puranas and not in the yoga texts as such. You will see that in Vijnana Bhikshu's commentary, all these concepts are quoted on how many times of dharana is dhyana, all these things. Yes, Shaiva Siddhanta also, they depend on Shiva Purana, the basic text, and also the Agamas that are associated with Shiva Purana. And hence the Puranas, almost, I have written a paper on Ashtanga Yoga in the Puranas, where you will find that regarding yoga, the view of the Puranas are almost the same. They borrow various ideas with each other, and hence there is unanimity, yes, in the Puranas on such ideas. Okay, sir. Thank you.